Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning, Roto Experts.
To the end zone! It's caught! Touchdown! Oh my heavens!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
Yes! It's time for a touchdown!
We're here to help you win your leagues and win that cash.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Rise and shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It is Tuesday, September 11th. We will never forget. We remember the fallen. And part of the way we do that is by cock-a-doodle doing it. This is Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speeds, the Spitting Statistician, and I am joined by my man, FSWA Hall of Famer, El Rey de Fantasía, the King, Scott Angle. Hey, Scotty, our guy, the manimal in there, down there in the fantasy pit of misery, is playing that we are back in a New York groove. And maybe it's true. Maybe they are not the same darn old Jets, Scotty. I mean, first of all, how you doing? How you doing on a Tuesday, a dreary Tuesday in the city?
Doing good this morning, my friend. It's bright for you. I'm glad for a Jet fan like yourself. Class act. And, you know, for me, you know, business as usual. The defending GST champs raise the banner and, you know, dust off the fantasy executive by 63 points.
There you go. Get that in very early, Scotty. You might want to get that in again at the end of the show, because I bet the fantasy executive is probably not awake yet. But listen, Scotty, I mean, the question is, were they the same darn old Jets? And after one pass, I was like, uh-oh, that's pretty crazy. But I blame the play call. This idea of a crazy throwback screen, he gets pick sixth, and the Lions go up very quickly, 7-0. But outside of that play, Sam Darnold goes 16 of 20, 198 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, continues to show poise, continues to move the ball, continues to extend plays and show mobility and agility in the pocket. Isaiah Crowell with some burners as well, a 62-yard touchdown run. Jets offense looks good, but it was the Jets defense that was very impressive, hitting Matt Stafford all night long. It really looked like Stafford was flummoxed, throwing four picks on the day. Matt Castle threw one as well. Jets win 48-17, Scott.
Yeah, flummoxed, excellent word there. Look, Sam Darnold completed 16 of 20 passes after the interception. You know, that kind of play is like something you teach in basketball. You know, don't throw a cross-court pass. And he got easily picked. Yeah. But after that, you know, he does a great job of taking what the defense gives him, hitting him the open. Man, very, very Jared Goff-like. Kind of reminds me of, like, Jared Goff in a way. But I think he's actually more talented than Goff. In fantasy, I think he's going to be solid and sometimes outstanding. And I haven't seen the line for Jets-Dolphins, but already, you know, I think the Jets will have to be favored by at least 3.5 or 4. I haven't seen the opening line for that game yet. Isaiah Crowell, look, it should be a timeshare between him and Bilal Powell, but he went off last night to the point where people are going to put him in lineups next week because he's facing a very weak Miami receiving crew. Robbie Anderson was just locked down by Dre Bly for a lot of the night, but still had a touchdown on the one pass that he wasn't with paired with Bly. Quincy Enunwa is back and healthy. He's going to be a volume type of guy and score every once in a while. And, you know, he also likes his tight end a little bit. You know, maybe somebody to watch. You know, Sterling is a little bit as a tight end, too. And on the other side of the ball, very, very bad opener for Stafford, but I think he'll rebound in a very impressive performance by Galladay.
Yeah, absolutely. I knew you wanted to get that one, and we'll touch on these lines in a second. I do have a couple of follow-up questions for you about the Jets. And one guy that you mentioned, I am intrigued by, not only because of the stat line, because, Scotty, as you know, I'm going to be watching every Jets game, and the way they used him, honestly, I look at – when I think about wide receivers, Scott, the first thing I look at is the targets. Yes, Robbie Anderson had that 41-yard touchdown, looked nice, snatching the ball from the defender on a good, you know, on like a third down play where Sam Darnold made the right play and, you know, put it up. But I got to ask you about Quincy Enunwa, Scott. I mean, Enunwa looked to be the primary target. Honestly, I think about the scheme that they are running with Jeremy Bates. There's a lot of these, like, you know, where Darnold is pulling the ball out of the belly of the running back and boom, right over the middle to a guy like Enunwa. They said it on the telecast a number of times that he's sort of like a running back in a wide receiver's body. You saw that on the touchdown that he had where he had a great run after the catch, put his hand down, made the jump or made the dive for the end zone. I would rather have Enunwa, I think, at this point than any other Jets wide receiver moving forward because I think the targets are going to be more stable. I think Robbie Anderson's going to be more of the big play kind of guy. Am I crazy, Scott?
You're not crazy, but I don't know how much we can judge from one game in a tough matchup. Although if Miami does have a strength to its defense next week, it is their secondary. I still think Quincy Enunwa will have a better floor. But I don't think he has much of a ceiling. But he's somebody you can put in your lineup every week because he'll give you, like, you know, 12 to 18 PPR points every week. But Robbie Anderson's going to have bigger games. You know, he's going to be more of a key in some of your victories, I think. So I think they'll both be useful. And I think you know, we still don't know what's happening with Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, you always look at all the potential quarterback injuries. You know, I rank Sam Darnold in the preseason on RotoExperts.com as quarterback number 18. So, you know, I do believe he's going to be a steady and sometimes outstanding fantasy performer.
Okay, and then on the other side, yeah, you talked about it, Scotty. It would be so nice, Galladay. Honestly, he looked like the best wide receiver in a Detroit Lions uniform. I mean, Golden Tate is going to get his targets, you know, but Golden Tate is going to get most of his targets closer to the line of scrimmage. I'm seeing Galladay on deep crossing routes, you know. I'm seeing him being more preferred than Marvin Jones, let's say. Galladay, like, helping us out. We've been hyping Kenny Galladay for the better part of the last month, and he delivered 7 catches, 114 yards. Are you bumping him up your rankings next week, Scotty?
Yeah, I had him, I think, 36 this week, which is just on that wide receiver cusp, wide receiver right. 3 cusp. But like I said during the preseason, I expect him to take a step forward, and maybe it's some of the expense of Marvin Jones because, you know, Marvin Jones is a nice jump ball kind of guy. But I think Kenny Galladay, he's bigger. He's versatile.
That's the other thing. And,
yeah.
It was obvious, Scotty. Kenny Galladay is a big man. Okay, like Marvin Jones is like, and Golden Tate are not. And Kenny Galladay is that kind of big X-wide receiver that they've been looking for in Detroit since Megatron.
Yeah, he's not only big, he's quick. He's running better routes this year, and he's healthy. You know, there's a lot of things. He's got a lot of versatility. As a receiver, kind of reminds me of a young Brandon Marshall.
Interesting comparison, okay? We'll be talking about Brandon Marshall maybe a little bit in the show when we talk about wide receiver waiver ads, so keep it locked for that. The number to call is 844-843-6879 if you want to join us as we put the fun in functional sports radio. One other note on this game before we go to the second Monday night game. Scotty, it looked like LeGarrette Blount got banged up a little bit with his knee. Really bad outing for LGBT rights. 4 carries, minus 3 yards. I want to ask you something. You know, Riddick was in the game a lot in the second half when they were down, kind of in the passing situations. I think game flow dictated that. But I got to tell you something, Scott. Carry on my wayward son. He looked like the best running back in a Detroit Lions uniform. It looked like the offense moved a little bit more when he was in there. He looked like he had a little bit more burst than LeGarrette Blount. And now with the knee injury that it looks like Blount sustained, I think if we have a different kind of game flow game and the backfield thins itself out, I could see Kerryon Johnson getting a bigger share of the Lions offense as we move forward.
Yeah, I think we all expected that to come. And, you know, on his first carry, he kind of pushed the pile and
made a nice catch out of the backfield, a one-handed catch.
Yeah, he was a good receiving back at Auburn as well. Theo Riddick got in there a lot because they were playing catch-up. Blunt just wasn't able to get off the blocks. He still makes eventually steal a few goal line carries. You can't say that, you know, LeGarrette Blount won't be involved, but I think we very expect Kerryon Johnson to be the lead back of a committee.
Yeah, I think that will be the case. We'll keep an eye out on LeGarrette Blount and his potential injury. Matt Stafford also got banged up. You know, adrenaline is a beautiful thing, as we saw on Sunday night. But I keep an eye out on Stafford as well, because he definitely got lit up by the Jets defense. Hey, Scotty, real quick, I'm sorry. Jets defense at home in their home opener against the Miami Dolphins next week. Can you see them? Can you stream them?
Yeah, you know, that was the thing. You know, people are going to be hot on the Jets defense because everybody.
I mean, they're not going to get five picks again, but
you know, no, look, five picks the first time in 19 years that they did that. You know, much to their credit, but the secondary was very aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
The front wall dominated. You know, you saw some unknown linebackers playing very, very well, and I just don't think this Miami offense is going to travel very well.
Yeah, exactly. I think about that as well. You know, the Jets will be in their home opener. The Dolphins, yeah, they scored some points last week, but don't forget they returned a kickoff for a touchdown. It was an odd game with the two weather delays. They were facing a backup quarterback. I think the Jets are an interesting streaming option next week. The secondary was there, and they were certainly getting pressure on Stafford. And, you know, the Lions' leading rusher last night had 20 yards, and his name was Theo Riddick. Let's go on over to the second Monday night game. A lot of people, let me put it this way, Scott. If you're up now listening to us, you were probably not up then watching the end of this game, but the Rams take it 33-13. I gotta say, at the beginning, it looked like they were sputtering along a little bit. You know, the injection of emotion from the black hole at the beginning of the game, Marshawn Lynch with an opening touchdown. He finishes with 11 carries for 41 yards and the touchdown. Derek Carr, though, three picks. He does throw for 303 yards. He throws a pick six at the very end. On the Rams side, you mentioned it, Jared Goff doing, to be quite honest, Scott, what I think is the hallmark of veteran or good quarterbacks in this league. Not focusing in on one receiver, utilizing the fantasy herd that you have at your disposal, and going wherever the ball dictates. I said that was going to happen with these Rams wide receivers, and it does. Brandon Cooks gets 5 for 87, so you would think that's the best game, but no. Kupp gets 5 for 52 and a touchdown. Gurley gets 3 for 39 and a touchdown. Robert Woods, 3 for 37. And this is the way it's going to be. This is what a fantasy herd is, Scott, enabling Jared Goff to just go wherever the matchup, wherever the defense, wherever the scheme dictates. Rams get a big win, 33-13 over the hapless Raiders.
Yeah, Jared Goff watching some film of Patrick Mahomes with little hot potato passes.
Yeah, the pop pass.
Near the goal line. And,
yeah, to Gurley.
Cooper Kupp, I believe, is going to be the best fantasy receiver there. I think it'll be a little bit more reliable than Cooks, even though Cooks has more upside. And you heard what they were saying. You know, they had Cooks because they felt he was a more complete player than Sammy Watkins. That Sammy Watkins, you know, just doesn't have the football savvy that he does. And, you know, so it'd be interesting to see. You know, Robert Woods might end up being the third fantasy receiver here, although he'll have some good games here and there. And Todd Gurley, great vision. And, you know, nobody in the NFL right now, when they get to the second level, takes off with such speed like Todd Gurley. You know, maybe Chris Thompson, but, you know, Chris Thompson is more of a screen pass kind of back, obviously. On the Raiders side, I thought Derek Carr played a very good first half and then just fell apart in the second half. I still think he's going to have a bounce-back year. This was a tough matchup. You know, Marshawn Lynch showing, you know, he still has tremendous power. Not as quick as he was a few years ago, but, of course, you know, as a Seahawk fan, me thinking when, you know, they pushed him into the goal line from 10 yards out, like, you know, why couldn't they hand him the ball at the 1 yard line in the Super Bowl? It had to creep into my mind. And then, Jordy Nelson with a nice 17 yard catch, you know, maybe better times going forward. But Amari Cooper, you know, once again, a big disappointment again last night. I didn't expect a big ceiling, but I didn't expect one catch for 9 yards.
Yeah, that is true. I already got the questions on Twitter, you know, the overreaction theater kind of questions. Should I drop Amari Cooper? Should I trade blah, blah, blah for Amari Cooper? You know, and here's the thing. I'm telling people right now, the way I'm going to answer all of those questions is no, is relax, is chill out. This was 1 week. Like, do we think Tariq Hill is going to score 3 touchdowns every week? No. Yes, he's really, really good. But do we think that's going to happen every week? Absolutely not. By the same token, do I think Amari Cooper is going to finish the season with 16 catches, you know, for like 150 yards? No, I don't. Do I think Jared Cook is going to have 9 for 180 as a pace? No, I don't. But let me ask you about Cook real quick here. Is he, you know, he's a name we didn't talk about much. We talk about how those tight ends, you know, tight end 8 to 14 is kind of a nebulous blob that you could just pick from every week. Does Cook belong in that conversation?
I already had him in like, you know, I think 16. So okay. I'll move him up a few ticks, but I think, you know, this was matchup related. You know, if there's one part of the field that you can attack the Rams defense is in the middle of the field, the linebackers aren't too good, and he was a big an overpowering matchup for their defensive backs, but we've seen it in the past. You know, Cook will have a good game every once in a while, but you can't trust him whatsoever. Not that you can trust a lot of tight ends, but you know, he's not going to be steady as a Kyle Rudolph, you know, or somebody like that, or even a Jack Doyle. So you know, not a guy that I think you can rely on every week as a regular starter. Still a high end tight end fantasy too.
Could he become more reliable as the season goes on, Scotty? Remember, when we thought about this team going into the season, we thought they'd have 3 wide receivers, one of them being Martavis Bryant. He is gone. I know he wasn't supposed to be a big deal per se, right? But then, obviously, Amari Cooper defecates the mattress. We're relying on Jordy Nelson here. And the running backs, I mean, couldn't Cook become a bigger part of this offense?
It's not out of the realm of possibility, but it's hard to get behind it after you've seen him for so many years in the league, and it really hasn't happened. So off the top of my head, I don't know how many years he's actually been in the league. Well, let's see.
7 or 8, maybe?
Yeah. This is 10th season. So no, after 9 seasons of seeing inconsistency, it's hard to buy in that this is going to happen regularly.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But there you have it, guys. We talked about those Monday night football games. We are off and running here on Roto Experts in the Morning. When we come back after the break, give you some news and notes, maybe an injury or two we did not touch on yesterday. And then we close the book on week 1. We start looking to week 2, where there's a game in 2 days, everybody. And we'll tell you about what you need to do on the waiver wire to get you ready. It's Dane and Scott, Roto Experts in the Morning. Come on right back. Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto Experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge Fantasy Package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge Fantasy Package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package, promo code FNTSY.
Welcome back. Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez and El Rey de Fantasia, the King, Scott Engel. We're almost done talking about week 1. And then, you know what, Scotty, I love? I think it's hysterical. They do those commercials when you're watching football all the time, right? They're like, week 1 closes out on Monday, and then week 2 begins. You know, the gap between the Monday night football game and the Thursday night football game is really only 2 days, right? The Tuesday and Wednesday, and then you got Thursday, and then 2 days, and then Sunday. They really frame it like a kind of ongoing cycle. You know, in the same commercial, they're like, all right, week 1's done, but in 48 hours, week 2 starts. So in that time, we got to let people know about the waivers. We're going to be doing that in a hot second. We also, now that matchups are done, We got a new game we're bringing after the team names are over. In the next segment, we'll look at some potential game of inches and maybe another way, Scotty. We'll see if there's a prize attached to that one moving forward. But Scott, one of the things I wanted to tell people, there's a couple of news notes that we did not mention yesterday when we went through all the games and some of the big injuries. We didn't talk about Marquise Goodwin, Scott. And Marquise Goodwin had a little bit of a quad injury. You know, they have these Detroit Lions who look like, you know, they could be attacked, shall we say. They have those guys next week in the San Francisco home opener. What are you hearing about Marquise Goodwin? What do you think is the impact on that offense? Because Dante Pettis, the rookie, had a touchdown catch. So I wonder, is he someone we should consider on waiver wires, or did he just pop off because Goodwin missed most of the game on Sunday?
It's kind of truth in both of that. You know, they said he's day-to-day, so we'll have to wait and see. It's way too early in the week to speculate whether he's going to play or not. You know, Friday is usually the day, if they practice or not, that you'll really know. But, you know, cue up Dante Pettis on waivers because, you know, even if Marquise Goodwin is there, you know, Pierre Garçon, you know, missing all of last year and not showing much in the opener, how much confidence can you really have that Pierre Garçon is going to rebound? Meanwhile, Dante Pettis, you know, had a good preseason, and it maybe could be somebody that Jimmy Garoppolo discovers. Now, look, Garoppolo had a bad game, but that was a great break the pocket, you know, throw on the run to Dante Pettis, who did a great job of keeping his feet in bounds. So it's something you have to consider.
All right, fair enough. I'm going to tell you the guy I'm considering in the San Francisco offense a little bit later on in this segment. We have not named him just so far. Also, listen, we all saw the dumpster fire that happened in Baltimore as the Ravens put a shellacking on the Buffalo Bills. Going into this game, Scotty, we were saying that we think Josh Allen is the quarterback for Buffalo, but that they would go Nate Peterman, especially early in the season, because of that offensive line. They didn't want to throw the young rookie to the wolves. And now, I mean, Peterman has a bad outing. They bring in Josh Allen when the game was a blowout in the second half. And now McDermott won't say who is the starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills in week two. What do the Bills have next week? I'm trying to find their game. They are home for the Los Angeles Chargers, an 0-1 team that is going to be pissed off. A lot of people, you know, think the Chargers are a playoff caliber team. They lost to Patty Mahomes week one. They got to do the dreaded West Coast to East Coast travel. LA to Buffalo might be one of the longest flights you could possibly have in the NFL. The Bills are 7.5-point home underdogs early. Who do you think gets that start with at least Melvin Ingram and potentially Joey Bosa breathing down their neck?
Yeah, I don't know if Bosa's going to play again this week.
Right.
But still, like you say, you know, the Chargers might be ticked off. And, you know, no matter, look, they could travel to Japan and they'll still be the better team.
Right.
You know, the thing is with the Chargers, though, they always start slow. This is Buffalo's home opener, and stranger things have happened. And I think Josh Allen gives him a better chance to win. We saw with the Chargers last week that they can be burned by the big play, and I think they get better burned. They have a better chance of getting burned by the big play with Josh Allen in there. But, you know, I would still start the Chargers defense pretty confidently, but it might bode well for better for Kelvin Benjamin if Josh Allen is starting.
I guess that's true, but when you mention like they got the Chargers defense got burned, I don't know about anybody in a Bills uniform that can do what Tyreek Hill does, though.
That's true, but I'm saying is the defense.
You know, the guys like Kelvin Benjamin, that sort of thing. He's a different kind of receiver, right?
Yes, but you know, I think that's obvious. But what I'm saying is, though, you know, that's not it didn't look like a lockdown defense. Hmm. Certainly in week one, you know, there were other issues.
Sure.
Just besides not covering Tyreek Hill. It's not like they really had to defend the run game. What I'm saying is I don't think we're going to see a Baltimore-Buffalo type of blowout this week if
right.
Josh Allen is starting.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. As part of what we do, we overreact a lot of things. It will be very interesting to see, you know, this kind of game, the Chargers and the Bills. Like, I personally believe that what we saw in the Chargers game was more a credit to Andy Reid, Patty Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and what we will see as a very strong Chiefs offense, as opposed to a knock, let's say, on the Chargers defense, and they will have a chance to get right against the Buffalo Bills. Hey, Scotty, real quick here. You know, we talk about when people got paid, right? Aaron Donald got paid. Khalil Mack got paid. We talked about Le'Veon Bell and his contract discussions, which are still ongoing. We're going to find out in the next couple of days, you know, if Le'Veon Bell decides to come to practice for the Pittsburgh Steelers and their 0-0-1 record. But we didn't touch on this, Scott. David Johnson got paid also. He got a three-year, $39 million extension. And here's the key number. $30 million of it is guaranteed. Okay, and that's the key number. Even in these crazy, you know, when you hear that the Steelers had an offer for Lev Bell, you know, it was the guaranteed money that was really a problem. But it looks like David Johnson is going to be in Arizona for a while. Got him locked up. Not much to talk about here, but there was thoughts that maybe David Johnson would also be on the market along with Lev Bell next year. That is clearly not going to be the case. David Johnson's going to be in Arizona for a while.
Yeah, and a lot of people disappointed by his week one performance. Right. You know, some people already saying to me in the Roto Experts exclusive at
Chase Edmonds.
Slack chat that, not Chase Edmonds, but saying that, you know, I regret taking David Johnson now. Should I trade him for Le'Veon Bell? And it's like, look, he was still very involved. You know, he's not going to blow up every week. You know, if you have an owner like that in your league, swoop in and trade for David Johnson.
Yeah, and that's a great idea. Generally speaking, Scott, you know, I'm sure we say it. I'm sure on this network all day, which is an award-winning fantasy sports radio network with guys like Corey Parsons, guys like my best friends forever. You'll even be able to hear me later on this evening at Fantasy Freestyle, 7 p.m. But we're going to be telling people, don't overreact. It's only 1 week. But if you have a member of your league that's overreacting, you could certainly take advantage of it. Scotty, one last injury before we get into our waivers that we didn't really talk about much, but I think it's really, really important, Scotty. And unfortunately, it's about your Super Bowl pick. Okay, the Houston Texans, they lost their right tackle, Shontrell Henderson, to an ankle injury. He's out for the year. Now, Scotty, here's my thing. Okay, I know, you know, they're 0-1. I know they're your pick. We know I feel slightly less on them. That's not what I'm trying to get into. I'm not trying to needle you here. One of the things we both knew, though, is that this team had a subpar offensive line. I thought it would have a bigger impact than you did, right? But now, if you already had a below-average offensive line and you lose your right tackle for the entire year, one of these bench guys who was deemed not good enough to start for one of the worst offensive lines is going to be pressed into duty on the right tackle. Deshaun Watson completed less than 50% of his balls in week one. Are you concerned at all about this injury to Shontrell Henderson, the O-line, or Watson's completion percentage?
The thing is, you know, if you're going to have a quarterback behind a line like that, you know, you want him to be mobile. But he's also right. going to have to make quick decisions. I think, you know, he's got the mobility, but he can't play like he did in week one when he keeps looking for the big play. And he's got to be able to throw higher percentage passes to move the ball down the field. So he's, you know, he's going to have to get the ball out of his hands quicker. And, you know, I think we'll have to play a wait-and-see thing here on Deshaun Watson and how he can adjust. It's kind of like Russell Wilson, in a way, too, playing behind these bad offensive lines for the last few years. You know, he's been able to break the pocket and run around, do the playground thing, and also quickly release the ball sometimes. But then, you know, he's got sacked six times, you know, this. So I think, look, Russell Wilson has been a really good fantasy quarterback behind bad offensive lines the last few years. You know, Deshaun Watson has to show he's capable of that by hitting the higher percentage passes. So it's a wait-and-see thing, kind of fantasy-wise right now.
Yeah, we will wait and see. You know, part of the glory of Deshaun Watson is his explosiveness, is the fact that he can create. But to your point, you know, you don't necessarily want to be in that situation all the time because it spells danger, Russ, unless, of course, you are Mr. Wilson. Let's look at these some waivers, okay? And, Scott, I got to tell you, the position I want to start at is tight end because you may have lost Delanie Walker for the season. You may have lost Greg Olsen yesterday. They've been kind of mum on Greg Olsen, but remember, there was that foot that he injured and missed a lot of time with last year, and they're quiet in there in Carolina. I'm a little bit worried about the long-term prognosis of Greg Olsen, but regardless, let's say you lost Olsen. Let's say you lost Delanie Walker. Let's say your tight end just put up a dud like some of them did. Now, I know, Scott, that yesterday we were talking about Disley. Will Disley, the tight end out of Seattle. I mean, you were talking about him, but I personally, I don't know that I'm going to spend a waiver claim on him. I think on the continuum of like, this was a complete one-week wonder to like, oh my God, this is someone I need to spend my fab budget on because he'll be a week-to-week productive person. I think Disley is closer to the one-week wonder. I wouldn't overreact too much on this, but you are the Seahawks expert. Are you spending on Disley if you lost Delanie Walker, if you lost Greg Olsen?
No, I'm not. You know, the scouting report on him coming out of college is, will take time to develop as a pass receiver. But then again, Pete Carroll said, ha, 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 I'm going to unleash this guy in the first week of the season when nobody expects it. And, you know, he did show good route running skills, pretty good hands, a little bit of sprinkle after the catch. But I can't imagine that, you know, that's going to happen every week. I think it was matchup-based, too. When you have those wide receivers against a secondary like that, I think you have to find somebody else other than, say, Doug Baldwin when he was in there, or Tyler Lockett, who was shut down for the rest of the game except for that big 55-yard touchdown reception. So I think the Seahawks are going to go in other directions in certain matchups. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if you see nothing from Phil Disley on Monday night. He was wearing Jimmy Graham's old number, but he looked better than Jimmy Graham. But I can't imagine that he's going to be more than a bye week plugger.
All right, fair enough. Let me give you a couple of tight ends who I do think might be worth the waiver ad. I'll get you your take on them. I'm going to give you three, see if you like them, and then maybe there's others that you want to throw out after that. Guys that I think are interesting. Listen, we know Delanie Walker is going down. One guy that I thought was interesting is his replacement, Jonnu Smith. Might he have an opportunity in that offense? When you look at Greg Olsen leaving potentially for an extended period of time, I know you're high on the kid Ian Thomas in Carolina. We just talked about Jared Cook in Oakland, although he may be already gone in your league. He's owned in about 52% of leagues. And then I want to mention, check, he might be owned. He's owned in like three quarters or four fifths of your league, but that means on the subway car right now, you know, if there's 20 people in that subway car, that means like five people are in leagues where you could still get George Kittle's and bits. And we were talking about, you know, Goodwin being out, Garcon building chemistry, Dante Pettis. I believe people need to recognize on George Kittle that he, if he's out there, he's available in maybe around 20-25% of leagues. But I personally, Scotty, would go Kittle, then Cook, then a guy like Ian Thomas, and then Jonnu Smith. What do you think about those options at tight end on the waiver wire?
Yeah, I think you pretty much ordered them correctly. You know, Kittle, you know, got five catches for 90 yards against Minnesota, and it's obvious that when he's healthy, that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to look to him because, and you know, which one of his wide receivers can he really trust, you know, outside of Marquise Goodwin when he's healthy? So that's something. Marquise Goodwin's more of a deep guy. Kittle will move the chains. Jared Cook has had 9 years of up and down erratic play. So anything outside of Kittle, you're rolling the dice. You know, you're reacting to 1 week with Jared Cook, and you don't know. He can give a stinker easily the next week. You know, Jared Cook and DeSean Jackson are two guys that had big opening weeks who could easily lay stinkers in week two. And then you talk about the young guys, and you know, the talent is definitely there. You know, Jonnu Smith, he flashed briefly last year. He's in his second year. He's got a little bit more experience than Ian Thomas. He's still young, so it's volatile. He's a very volatile pickup because if you plug him in, you know, he could easily get a very quiet game, and he could end up on your waiver wire back in 2 weeks. But you have to take the shot if you lost Delanie Walker and the waiver wire is thin. With Ian Thomas, we saw him flash a little bit during the preseason, and the talent is there, but he's still a rookie tight end. With these last two tight ends, you take the flyer, but you don't feel good about it. You know, maybe you're also trying to make a trade for a tight end as well.
Yeah, you mentioned these kids, right? The Jonnu Smith, the Ian Thomas. One other guy, the last guy I'll mention at tight end, who is certainly not a kid, being owned right now in 39% of Yahoo leagues. What about old man Ben Watson? You know, you talk about how Scotty, there's kind of volatility with some of these kids. I think there's less volatility with a guy like Ben Watson. You know what you're going to get. If you're the kind of team that has studs all over the place and you need something stable, I wouldn't mind Ben Watson with Drew Brees against the Cleveland Browns next week. And then also, remember, we are still in this four-week window without Mark Ingram. What do you think about Ben Watson? I mean, he's an unsexy name, but the floor is there.
Yeah, only four catches for 44 yards, you know, in last week. Mm-hmm. Didn't see him play at all last year. You know, put up a pretty good season. I'm sorry. Didn't see him play at all in 2016. Last year, you know, 61 catches, 522 yards, four touchdowns. It's not bad, but there's absolutely no upside there. It's like, to me, it's like, it's almost like, you know, just a mediocre, like, Like, there's a floor there where you might get, you know, 7-8 points a week, but I rarely think, you know, look at all the points that the Saints scored this week, and he only caught four balls for 44 yards. So to me, it's mediocrity. It's good enough to lose with.
All right, there you go. It's that kind of mediocre floor, but you got to get someone if, let's say, if you lost Delanie Walker or Greg Olsen, which I know a lot of people did. Scotty, when we come back on the other side of the break, we'll dive into the running back and the wide receiver ads. I got to tell you, one of the guys that I'm getting a lot of questions about is Philip Lindsay, this running back of Denver. And I mean, it looks like it's possible that they could use Royce Freeman as kind of their early down bigger back, and then it could be Lindsay in the PPR role, this kid out of Colorado. They said he had a big camp. I think Devontae Booker owners could be concerned. We only got a couple of seconds before the break. We could pick back up on it. But Scott, Lindsay, is he going to be a thing?
I think, you know, he's got a possibility to be a Tariq Cohen sort of Darren Sproles type where, you know, you're not depending on him every week. But, you know, when the matchup is right and he's facing a weak linebacking crew as a flex, that you got to put him in there, you know, if it's, he won't get 101 yards from scrimmage every week, but he's going to have some nice games here and there.
Yeah, he might be facing one of those weak linebacking crews next week when they take on the Oakland Raiders in week two at home in Denver. So keep an eye out on that. More running back and wide receiver ads when we come back. It's Dane and Scott, Roto Experts in the Morning.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build and optimize lineups for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Welcome back. Roto Experts in the Morning, Dane and Scott. We're here in New York where the Jets get a big win to go 1-0 in the Sam Darnold era. Maybe it is not the same darn old Jets. Scott, you know, here's the thing. I just get another one. You just answered the same question here, I think. This idea of should I drop Ricky Seals-Jones or Eric Ebron for Cook? It's funny, I responded, I'm okay dropping Ebron for Cook, and you write, I'd hold on to him. You wouldn't drop Ebron for Jared Cook?
I probably wouldn't. You know, to me, it's like it's almost a wash between those two. I really believe in Seals-Jones. You know,
yeah, Seals-Jones I agree with. I know you're down on Ebron.
But, you know, with Ebron, what I saw last week is going to be a two tight end set. I just don't trust Jared Cook where I think, you know, I think he'd be quiet for like 4 weeks after this. Whereas, you know, I think Ebron's going to be a little bit more involved in, you know, in the team's passing game and maybe be a more consistent touchdown threat. The way I see things working out is I still think that Jack Doyle is going to catch about 75 to 80 balls, but that Ebron could be more of the guy in the red zone.
All right, we shall see. Let's talk. We were talking about Philip Lindsay and other running back ads. Let me just give you some guys. Like, some of the most heavy added guys are just straight handcuffs right now. Guys like TJ Yeldon, guys like Austin Eckler. Hey, Scott, does Austin Eckler have any standalone value? I mean, he was used He was used well. Melvin Gordon was there. I mean, 5 carries, 39 yards, but he had a, you know, he caught all 5 of his targets for 87 yards. Does Eckler have any standalone value?
Yeah, my little Eckler. It's like, mm-hmm. sounds like something my grandmother used to call me.
Right.
But, you know, I don't think the touches are going to be consistent enough for him to, you know, be in your lineup in more than a bye week.
Okay, James White, still not owned in a lot of leagues. You got to go out and get James White, right? Don't you think he's the passing guy to own, especially also Jeremy Hill got banged up. We don't know about Sony Michel just yet. This is going to be Burkhead and White until Michel gets back in there, right? James White, a viable waiver ad, especially
yeah,
in PPR formats?
You know, he'll carry the ball here and there. And, you know, who's going to be the goal line back now because Jeremy Hill just went on injured reserve. So I think that helps Burkhead a little bit as long as he can stay healthy.
It does. We're going to get a read more tomorrow when they have the first injury reports. We'll find out, you know, if Sony Michel is really going to be back for the Pats in week 2. But remember, whatever Pats running back you have, it's not a good matchup. They face the Jacksonville Jaguars in week 2. So that gives me a little bit of cause for pause. Any running backs that you like here, Scotty? You know, I'm seeing names that are either mostly owned, like Isaiah Crowell, or guys that, you know, are handcuffs, like we said, about Eckler and Yeldon. Obviously, we talk about James Conner. We know about him. Do you believe in Adrian Peterson or Alfred Morris sustaining anything, the older guys?
You know, Adrian Peterson is not what he used to. He doesn't run with the same authority. But I could see if he's out there, you know, pick him up and use him as an RB3. They're going to give him the ball at the goal line, if nothing else. Alfred Morris probably going to be part of a timeshare there. And the one other guy in PPR leagues is Nyheim Hines, who had 7 catches for 33 yards in the season opener. And if this team can't find a reliable running back, he could become like Theo Riddick was a few years ago, where they're using short flat passes to him as an extension of the running game.
Yeah, Jordan Wilkins only had about 40 yards, I believe, in his chance at the start. Marlon Mack, though, should be coming back, it looks like, in week 2. He was a game-time decision for week 1, so if he continues to make progress, he will be back in there, further clouding the Indianapolis backfield. Don't forget, Robert Turbin will also be back starting week 5. But Nyheim Hines, as you mentioned, Scott, who's that?
Robert Turbin. He's a pickup and stash, I'm telling
stash.
You. I don't trust Marlon Mack to A, stay healthy, or B, a consistent ball carrier. I believe, you know, what I've seen in this team the last 2 years, they're fine if they have to go with a stopgap to give Robert Turbin the ball. So, you know, I would pick up and stash in a deeper league. I would stash Robert Turbin.
Isn't it, though, just a very clouded backfield, though? You talk Turbin, you talk Mack, you talk Wilkins, you talk Hines, you even talk Christian Michael. I mean, like, that's a lot of people to feed, and it's not like the Colts are predicated on their run game.
Well, I don't think Michael's really a factor.
Okay.
I think Nyheim Hines can certainly have his role in the passing game, so I think that separates him from the others in terms of uniqueness. And then, you know, I just don't trust Marlon Mack to stay healthy or be a consistent ball carrier. I think, you know, that he could end up at least sharing carries with Robert Turbin, with Turbin getting the carries near the goal line.
All right, let's talk a little bit about some wide receiver ads. But before we do, I got to let people know that BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI. Hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events when you can make your play at any time. Use the promo code FNTSY. BetDSI is offering up to a $1,000 bonus on your first deposit. So don't forget, use that promo code FNTSY. And head on over, start winning today. That is betdsi.com. As I look at the wide receivers, Scott, I think there's a couple of names out here. First, some that we have been on all season long. We mentioned at the top of the show, Kenny Galladay. I mean, he's on most rosters already. There is about 40% of leagues where you can still get Kenny Galladay. We've been telling you. Clearly, you haven't been listening. I've been telling you about Kenny Stills for weeks and weeks. He's only unowned in about a quarter of leagues, but definitely worth the check. We talked to everybody for a while about guys like Geronimo Allison. Geronimo Allison can be had at about, you know, 75% of leagues. Go out and get Geronimo Allison if you haven't just yet. I know Cobb had the big play, but Geronimo Allison is going to be a thing. Aaron Rodgers' Packers offense can sustain multiple wide receivers. But Scott, three guys that I think, you know, you can go out and get right now that I think could be something. One is our guy Quincy Enunwa that we talked about, had a good game. Looks like he will be heavily targeted by Sam Darnold. But two other guys I want to bring up. Philip Dorsett in New England had the touchdown. It's clear that Brady was looking towards him. I don't know how sustainable it is, but there's a name. And the other one I got to mention, Scotty, for you, it's Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall in Seattle, I think, is really interesting, and here's why. One is because of the Baldwin injury, okay? It looks like Baldwin is dealing with something now with both knees, and I think this is going to linger. I don't think Baldwin is going to be his full self for most of the season. The other thing is Baldwin and Lockett are both smaller kinds of receivers. When you get into the red zone and things like that, you need one of those big body outside guys, especially because they lost Jimmy Graham. I think Brandon Marshall can play that role for these Seahawks. And I mean, he led the team in targets in week one when Baldwin went down. I think Marshall is actually going to be a viable wide receiver moving forward for the Seattle Seahawks. What do you think about these guys, Enunwa, Marshall, Dorsett, and some of the others?
Well, with Enunwa, you know, we saw him put up pretty good numbers a few years ago with the Jets before he got hurt, and now I think he's at the quarterback situation is even better, so I think he's a definite pickup, you know, for PPR purposes. I think in a standard league, he might be less effective because I don't think the yardage upside is really there, but you're talking about a guy who can catch six balls for, like, you know, 70 yards every week. You're talking easy 13 PPR points, and then if he gets in the end zone, you know, you're talking like 19, something like that. So I like Enunwa a lot as a pickup. With Dorsett, you know, he got a lot of his work on the outside last week. It's going to be tougher this week against Jacksonville. He's working the pickup, but I don't like the matchup for him this week. And as far as Marshall goes, the report now on Doug Baldwin is torn MCL, could miss up to 4 weeks. So, you know, Marshall's healthy. Looks better outside the 20s than Graham did. Russell Wilson, very comfortable throwing the deep ball. In fact, he likes it. Also gives him a red zone target. You know, Marshall is showing that he's healthy and that he still has something, even though you're not what he was in his prime. So, I picked him up last week in two leagues. I have him Baldwin in one league. I'm going to have to play Marshall over him this week. And Marshall, you know, we always talk the revenge games type of angle. Mm. He scored against the Broncos last week, plays against the Bears this week.
Very interesting. Okay, so Brandon Marshall could be a thing. I like him because of the, you know, he's a different kind of receiver, and it does look like Baldwin's going to be struggling with those knees, unfortunately, all season long. Check it out, Scotty. Fantasy Factor is the only DFS site with exclusive single-entry contest. It's a fun and recreational place to play with smaller leagues, flatter prize pools. They have great free promotions like Survivor, Super Bowl Squares, March Madness Bracket Contest. Sign up today. That's right. Go on over to FantasyFactor.com. And don't forget about our guys over at Daily Roto either. One of our Daily Roto subscribers won $1 million this week playing fantasy, won the Millie Maker over on FanDuel. That makes 7 millionaires from DailyRoto.com. Don't forget about them. All right, Scotty, here's what I want to do. You know, we had the team name contest. It was great. Our guy Strong Style Ninja won that. We got to get in touch with him in order to get that free Roto Experts in-season package. And the King giving you a call to help set your lineup. Here's what I want to do, because what I always hear, Scott, I always hear people being like, oh, I only lost by 2 points. I would have won if, you know, and I hate those stories. I don't care about those stories, but some of them are more kind of gut-wrenching than others, right? And so I think if you have the worst beat of the season, maybe not every week, Scott, but maybe we find out the weekly winners, but whoever had literally the worst beat of the entire season, maybe we give something to. So for example, I was going into this week being like, man, maybe you had Matt Bryant, you know, and you missed that extra point. And that missed extra point was like a 2-point swing and you lost by 2 points, you know? Or maybe, excuse me, maybe you had like the Boswell or Zane Gonzalez, one of those kickers in the rain in overtime in Cleveland. And that could have been really bad, right? Maybe you were facing Tyreek Hill. Oh, but you lost because, you know, they give credit for that touchdown as a pass, as a reception, and you lose by 1 point, you know, something like that. But here's the two nominees I have. Let me know what you think about this. First, my man Tyrone out there on Twitter, he's a friend of the Stats Overbeat Cypher. He lost, and he showed me a
Tyrone.
There you go, little Erica Badu. Scotty, he lost, and he showed me a screenshot of this, okay? So I know it's true. People aren't just making up things here. He lost by 12 hundredths of a point, okay? He lost – let me get the exact scoring up. I had it. He lost 136 – he lost 137.6 to 136.7. So he lost by less than a point. He was facing the Rams defense, Scotty. And as you saw, the Rams defense got that pick six inside the two-minute warning. That is what cost him his matchup, Scotty. How do you feel about that one?
Yeah, that's kind of painful, but, you know, it's a very good defense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just not shocked that it would have happened at any point in the game. So,
right, I think painful. It's just because more it happened at the end, right?
It was the timing of it more than anything else.
Okay, yeah, so, I mean, tough loss for sure, but maybe not the worst of the worst. Check this out. Our guy Bavona down there in the fantasy pit of misery is saying that he and Bones – they lost 131.9 to 131.76. They lost by 0.14, 14 hundredths of a point. That's a close one as well, Scott. But for me, it's really about that one play that is completely out of nowhere that, you know, really messes up the difference. You know, this idea of, like, last year, Austin Seferian Jenkins, when you had a plus six for the touchdown and it turned into a minus two for the fumble. For example, Scotty, I think this is the winner. Check this out, and then we'll bring in my guy, Mike Blewett. I had a guy lost by 0.1, okay, and was facing LeGarrette Blount on his team. Lost by a tenth of a point. The opponent had LeGarrette Blount, and LeGarrette Blount rushed from minus 3 yards, but his league setting was no negative points. So his opponent got zero for LeGarrette Blount instead of the minus 0.3 that he should have got, and this guy lost by 0.1. That is rough, Scott.
Yeah, that's pretty darn painful there. But then you also go look over your lineup, though, too, and, like, you know, where could I have made a better decision? But here's the one thing you have to remember with these type of games. Now, in the real NFL, right, you know, say your team, you know, gets to the 5 yard line and, you know, it's first and goal or something like that, and they go four and out and they don't win. You feel like, well, my team could have won that game, my real NFL team. They didn't. They didn't execute. If they don't execute when the game is on the line, they don't win. You can't say, you know, they should have won when they didn't execute and say, you know, okay, well, we could have finished 10-6 instead of 8-8. You know, I don't believe in that. With fantasy football, it's different because, you know, you can't control that kind of stuff. There is no execution. So it's more painful in fantasy football.
Yeah, it definitely is. It can be rough. We got our guy Mike Blewett joining the fun here. We're going to get with him in Fantasy Sports Today in a couple of seconds. But Mike, you and I, we both went 2-1 in our picks. Scotty goes 1-2 so far. It is just week one. But Mikey, you and I, we put up a big-time number in the Carton and Friends League, huh?
I mean, we squeaked it out. We won by – I mean, it was close. We won by 129. So, look, I was sweating it last night when we
Matty had Stafford didn't look that great for us. Yeah.
And that pick six really helped us to get it to over 120, the surplus of points that we needed to win. Good start for us. We didn't even start the right, in one instance, we didn't start Randall Cobb.
We started LeSean McCoy also.
True. So we got some changes to make, but I think we'll regroup and we'll be even better next week. Scott, I don't know how you did in that league, but Bavona and Bones really had a terrible beat last night, losing by 14 hundredths of a point. They got girly. They got terrible performances out of Chris Hogan. And one other player was really bad for them. It was Jimmy Graham. They got a total of 4.9 points out of those two guys, and they lost by 14 hundredths of a point.
Yeah, Greg Sussman.
I split
the producers.
I split my leagues this week. Week going 5-5 in my 10 leagues. But most importantly, you know, in the GST, we unveiled the banner and we beat Corey Parson by 63 points. Business as usual.
There you go there in GST. Yeah. Definitely our producers had a tough loss, losing by 1,400ths of a point. And Scotty, where you are the consigliere to our homegirl, Michelle Serpico, the beauty and the beast, went down to our listener, the benevolent stranger, went down by about 20 points. So there you have it in all of those. But guys,
just
got
outscored there. You know, we scored 145, but they scored 168. You know, what are you going to do? Some weeks you just get outscored.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah,
I totally understand that. Like we outscored everybody, so I completely understand that you get outscored from week to week. It doesn't happen to us necessarily, but to most of you, to you, Scott, to you, Chris Pavona, it's going to happen. Can I ask a question? The guy that's benevolent stranger, is he doing is he misspelling benevolent as a joke? I thought it was some sort of shout out
to a
joke.
I don't know. Hit him up on the league.
I have an honest answer here.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's a joke? There you go.
All right.
There you go. But I hear you, Scott. You know, sometimes you just get outscored, right?
That's
in this in the GST league, I put up 145 as well, which is a representative score, a decent number. That is including zero from Doug Baldwin, and I wound up only losing by 11 points.
I won two games with Doug Baldwin in my lineup.
Yeah. I mean, if I made a certain – I switched Tyrod Taylor out – on Sunday morning because of the weather. I could have got a win on that one. But that's okay. We'll keep lamenting. There's always week two. Mikey and I continue this conversation on Fantasy Sports Today right after this here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Talk to you tomorrow, Scott.